This reading is from All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten by Robert Fulcrum. One year, I didn't receive many Christmas cards. One fetid February afternoon, this troublemaking realization actually came to me out of the back room in my head that is the source of useless information. Guess I needed some reason to really feel crummy. So there it was, but I didn't say anything about it. I can take it. I'm tough. I won't complain when my cheap friends don't even care enough to send me a stupid Christmas card. I can do without love, right? The following August, I was nesting in the attic, trying to establish some order in the mess, and found stacked in with the holiday decorations a whole box of unopened greeting cards from the previous Christmas. I had tossed them into the box to open at leisure, and then I ran out of leisure in the shambles of the usual Christmas panic. So they got caught up in the bale it up and stuff it in the attic and we'll straighten it out next year syndrome. I handed the box down, and on a hot summer day, middle of August, mind you, in my bathing suit, sitting in a lawn chair on my deck with sunglasses, cocoa butter, a quart of iced tea, and a puzzled frame of mind, I began to open my Christmas cards. Just to help, I had put a tape of Christmas carols on the portable stereo and cranked up the volume. Here it all was: angels, snow, wise men, candles, and pine boughs, horses and sleighs, the Holy Family, elves, and Santa. Heavy messages about love and joy and peace and goodwill. If that wasn't enough, there were all these handwritten messages of affection from my cheap friends who had, in fact, come through for the holidays. I cried. Seldom have I felt so bad and so good at the same time. So wonderfully rotten, elegantly sad, and melancholy and nostalgic and all. Bathos. Utter bathos. As fate always seems to have it, I was discovered in this condition by a neighbor who had been attracted to the scene by the sound of Christmas caroling. She laughed. I showed her the cards. She cried. And we had this outrageous Christmas ordeal right there on my deck in the middle of August, singing along with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir to the final mighty strains of O Holy Night. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. What can I say? I guess wonder and awe and joy are always there in the attic of one's mind somewhere, and it doesn't take a lot to set it off. And much about Christmas is outrageous, whether it comes to you in December or late August.
Thank you. This is adapted from the book Heart to Heart by Christine Robinson and Alicia Hawkins. Gratitude is something that all of us can practice and that makes us all religious. Whatever one's belief about faith and grace, gratitude is basic. Like hope, trust, and love, gratitude is both a feeling and a spiritual practice. Though we have little control over our immediate feelings, we can decide to cultivate the ground on which they grow. And we are taught as soon as we can speak to say thank you when we are helped or given something. A young person who does not say thank you convincingly is considered spoiled, and an older person who does not have this habit is considered arrogant. Why? Words of thanks signal acknowledgement of another's part in benefiting our lives. Thank you adds a human connection. It says, I noticed you were there, and I'm glad. Our thank yous remind us that we are dependent on those around us. The words acknowledge the web of relationships in which we live. To neglect one's thank yous is not only rude, it is out of touch with reality, an implicit claim of independence and privilege. The practice of saying thank you is good for our souls and a reality check on our tendency to think we don't need others. You may wonder how to develop gratitude. The important thing is to notice your gratitude and express it, if only to yourself. Thank you, universe, you might say, if thank you, God, doesn't work for you. We notice our full hearts when a grandchild rushes into our arms, when we are struck by the beauty of a sunset, or when we experience one of those wonderful moments when we connect deeply with someone. There may be nobody in particular to thank, but we can practice gratitude all the same. Sometimes we are suffering too much to feel honestly grateful. There are days, even weeks or months, when we are overwhelmed by problems or pain, tragedy or disappointment. In those times, we don't feel lucky to be alive and certainly don't feel like celebrating. In their desire to make us feel better, good-hearted people are likely to say things like, you should be grateful that your older child is still alive, the cancer was only in one breast, you still have a spouse even though you lost your job. But when we can't feel grateful, we can't. At least, we can't then. Note to good-hearted people, you are right. The suffering person in front of you surely still has some good things in his or her life, but this realization has to come from within, and it will come more quickly if friends simply listen with open hearts and don't try to give advice. Sometimes when things are hard, especially if they are awful for a long time, we may resolve to make a practice of gratitude, to really work at reestablishing our sense of thanksgiving. This is a very healing practice. In the midst of grieving for a loved one, we can be grateful for the care of friends, for the flowers that are still blooming, for the kindness of strangers, for even that the car starts and the sun rises. Being intentional about noticing these things is a deep spiritual practice. The Jewish people have a beloved song that is sung at the Seder, the service that takes place during the Passover season. Passover celebrates the exodus from Egypt when Hebrew slaves were freed and escaped into a difficult 40 years in the wilderness. In the song, the leader lists all of the things that God did during the Exodus story. After each, the congregation sings, "It would have been enough." It goes something like this. Had God brought us out of Egypt and not divided the sea for us, it would have been enough. Had God divided the sea and not permitted us to cross on dry land, it would have been enough. Had God permitted us to cross the sea on dry land and not sustained us for 40 years in the desert, it would have been enough. You get the idea. In spite of the considerable suffering involved in an entire community's uprooting itself to escape into the wilderness, there is also gratitude for all the ways things turned out well. It's a way of saying, there are gifts even in the midst of hard time. So a new mother might say to herself, if my baby had been born healthy but not beautiful, it would have been enough. If he had been born healthy and beautiful, but I had to struggle to care for him, it would have been enough. If he had been healthy and beautiful, and my mother came to care for us both, but I had to return to a 9-to-5 job, it would have been enough. But I have a flexible job, a loving mother, a beautiful and healthy baby, and it is so much more than enough. Perhaps most insidious in our sense of gratitude is the demon busyness. There are times when we simply get too busy to notice all the wonderful things and people and relationships around us. Because it is so easy to get revved up to such a pitch that we neglect to notice our gratitude, it is best to find ways to make gratitude a routine. The child's bless mommy and daddy and my brother, even though he's a pain, is an elementary but beneficial practice. Sometimes people keep a gratitude list, have a wall of photographs of people and places for which they are grateful, bring their gratitude to mind each morning over their coffee, or begin the evening meal or bedtime prayers by naming things for which they are grateful. W.H. Auden once wrote, on the dull days of life, we must practice our scales of rejoicing. A musician practices scales for many lonely hours so that when it comes time to perform, the music will flow naturally from the fingers. Likewise, we can make a practice of our gratitude that will sustain us in both wonderful and difficult times. Thank you. And now we will sing number 1,000 and something. Thank you. 1,007, there's a river flowing in my soul. Recite Invictus And after he has finished reciting, I invite everyone to sing hymn 118, This Little Light of Mine.
Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods there be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of rock and tears looms but the horror of the shade. Yet the passing of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
Realized a little problem. I really would like it dark because we are going to have a walking meditation with our candles. However, the problem is that we can't read without our candles, and two of us need to read a bit. Okay. I can hold it.
No, I can't hold it.
I can hold it.
Oh, then I can. Oh, the whole thing.
Oh, okay. And we can move that other thing if it's in the way. Okay. Okay. Ah, this is lovely. If it's okay. I need a few words for you before you can do this, in any case. Earlier in the service, I asked you to save any words of gratitude instead of expressing them during the joys for this time. And now I invite you to think of those. It could be something specific. It could be something somewhat the same as the words on the bookmarks. And I invite you to come up and, if you wish, tell something that you are grateful for, perhaps specifically this year, perhaps not, and light one of these candles that we have here. They are easily lit and easily held. And then, when everyone has done that, and spoken if they wish to. Marilka will begin to play, and that is when you're invited to walk around and just meditate on your gratitude, on what you've heard today. You may pick up a different bookmark. You may exchange yours if you like. Whatever seems right. And then when Marilka has finished playing, we will gather here again and put our candles back, and we will extinguish the chalice and sing our closing, which has somehow done it itself, so we don't want to leave it not up, so we will. Okay. It might just move itself up there, because we don't want to. There we are, and sing our closing song. So I invite anyone who would like to come up and light a candle and have a word or two about perhaps their gratitude, or just light a candle. Okay. Oh, there we are.
I'm grateful for story. For without story, the people cannot live.
Thank you. Dennis?
I am grateful for my memories, for without my memories, I am nothing.
Thank you, Dennis. And we will light a candle for you and give it to you. Candle.
I am grateful for my family and for Ralph's family. They have been very attentive and very loving all year, and especially at Christmas time, so I'm very grateful for them.
I'm grateful for the fact that I made the 5 weeks in Toronto, because I didn't have any friends there except for the lady that I knew. So I'm grateful that I was able to do it, and we left as friends.
Yes, take the candle.
I am grateful that I had a wonderful, happy Christmas, contrary to what I was fearing. I did not look forward for the longest time. But when the first Christmas card popped into the mailbox, I just changed and thought, it's silly not to enjoy it all. And I did. And I was grateful for all the family and friends around me who helped me through it.
My gratitude, my dear, is for having you in my life.
Well, I didn't start the gratitude thing because I had a feeling that those words or something like it might come, and I wanted to save my gratitude thoughts for after Terry had spoken, so that I could also say that my gratitude this year is for having Terry in my life. Hey, Terry. Yes, you need to lighten up. You get too excited here.
Now that's a tough one to follow. I am grateful for many, many things. And particularly in the summertime, the ability to sail a 16-foot boat. And this sounds kind of superficial, but it really isn't. Recently, a interview that I did last summer in Halifax appeared on YouTube. So I'm kind of grateful for my very short 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah. It was. Oh, yes, if you go on YouTube, what can you use to get there?
Send people a link because I haven't the foggiest idea.
Oh, okay. So she's going to send everyone a link. Was that what she meant? Ah.
Hi, folks. I'm Rob, and I'm grateful for a variety, black and white and all those zebras in the middle.
Okay. Oh, you're supposed to light this, but I can light it for you. There we are. Okay. Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. There.
I am thankful for many things, and sometimes I even take the time to sit with that thankfulness. But I'm particularly thankful for my husband, Ian, and my children, Hannah and Callum.
Despite the fact that I'm wheezing at everybody today, I'm grateful for good health.
Life isn't worth much without it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh? May you have a boatload of gold and then not enough to pay your doctor.
She wore it so she can go around in her meditation and we will be inspired.
I'm grateful for audacity.
Yeah.
When I was young, I was always waiting to be old enough to say or do what I felt like. This is in homage to my, not quite, but it took some courage to get this out of the bag. But it just surfaced last night due to my ex-fire. Things were kind of turned upside down, but there it was, and I pulled it out of the closet and put it in a bag. I'll just wait and see what happens this morning. Anyway, it's very dark, so I feel comfortable. I'm grateful for so many things. I can't even know, I don't know where to begin, except with grandchildren, family, friends, fantasy and fun, nature, love of nature, and the hope that someday there will be kindness and peace and generosity to all nations in the world and people who live next door to each other, that somehow they don't feel like hurting each other. They feel like helping and sharing. This is what I'm grateful for, is the hope.
For the little things in life that make us happy every day.
I'm grateful for life, the zest for life, and the fact that some friends helped bring me back out of my dark night of the soul, and particularly a couple of folks that really helped. And also grateful for the fact that if we're alive, we can still change old patterns and continue to love the life we have.
Mm.
One of the things I'm most grateful for is the human ability to adapt to emergency situations. so that we can rush to Alberta when the floods take place, and we can rush to places like Syria when people are suffering so much, and we can rush as people to help each other out in strange different countries where we don't know each other, and in neighboring countries.
Hi, I'm Sean, and our family, we just moved recently to a new house, so I'm grateful for the space and opportunity it provides for us.
And that one isn't, no, sorry. Yeah, it's whatever. I'm grateful for family, my kids and my sister, and for resilience. Oh, here. Details.
I am grateful for Beacon Unitarian Church, which means y'all, and for house pets, for Percy in particular, but for house pets in all of our lives and for what they provide for us, and for theater. Mm.
I'm grateful for my senses, which allow me to enjoy all the wonderful experiences that we are fortunate to have.
I'm grateful for my brother, for his gratitude and his empathy.
I now invite anyone who hasn't got a lit candle to come up and light one and just move around the room in meditation, perhaps reminding yourselves of whatever you see. And as I say, if you want to exchange your bookmark, you're welcome to. So and then we will come back and put our candles here and extinguish the chalice. Oh my goodness.
Thank you.
I extinguish this chalice in gratitude for all of the people here, for Beacon, for all of those reasons we have to be grateful.